And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You are listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I am Brad Blazak.
Oh, getting up on that mic. Oh.
Does that sound, is that good?
Give me that low-end rumble.
I like how my mustache, like, rubs on the thing.
I don't like hearing that noise. I don't like that. I don't like it. That was so, way too close to the mic. It was right like you were scratching it in my ear. Stop. Oh, dude, that's the worst.
I like getting this close to it, though. It's kind of cool. And like, I don't know.
You're just really having fun with the mic, you know, really yes. Like just exploring the space of your room and your new equipment.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sitting back and I've got the mic like pointed a certain way so I can still relax, but still be this close to the mic.
Mm. Efficiency and relaxation.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what you call it, killing two birds with one stone right there, Brad B.
Have we started? Is this the show?
We just introduced ourselves.
I know, but
this is episode 146, by the way, not two. Have we started? What's happening? Did we just introduce ourselves for no reason? You all right, man?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, this.
Yeah.
I have a weird feeling about this episode. I have a feeling this episode could possibly in the future be studied by psychologists.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're both, I don't know if you feel this way. I feel both in some ways better than I've ever felt in my life. And in other ways, so scared shitless like I've never been in my entire life.
Mm.
Does that make any sense? Do you get...
I've had those moments. I'm not going through that right
now.
This moment in my life, but I totally can relate to that feeling.
Right. Yeah, it definitely has been coming in waves for me.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, I guess. But I think I'm on a downward trend right now, man. I'm going to be honest with you. But it makes me happy to
Well, what can I do and what can the SPT listener base do?
Nothing. These people, that's all great. I mean, I'm in a good mood right now because I'm talking to you. You know what I mean? That's good. Yeah. That's good for me.
I would like the audience to just go crazy on social media. I don't know, maybe on Instagram. Which one do you go to the most, Instagram or the Twitters?
Instagram is the only account I have.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not.
But yeah, I just want like let's do like a Brad Lyons appreciation.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Hashtag no.
We love Brad Lyons.
Oh, I don't know. No. You just gave me a huge anxiety attack. No.
Why?
No. No, we're cutting.
Listen,
all this out.
I've been down a few times in the past, and then we'll get like, but this is what's cool is like people don't know and they'll like email us and be like, hey man, I love the show. Like keep doing what you're doing. And then I feel like it gives me like a little jolt and I'm not fishing
that's
for
true.
Compliments.
Now, no, that's true.
I'm just saying like we'll get emails out of the blue that are like, like addressing exactly what I'm anxious about,
yeah.
But they don't even know that they're doing it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I like this. I like the way you steered the ship, my friend. I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but look at the big brain on Brad.
Mm-hmm.
I dig it because that is very true. See, now we can go to positive town because I feel the same way. I read some of those emails on days that I'm having a shit day and it's like, mm-hmm. oh fuck, it's kind of, today's okay. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's cool.
The show's good. People like it. We're good.
Well, it's just like, it's a positive thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not even about like the show or anything like that. It's mm-hmm. cool, man. It's definitely been, I've been super glad to have like this show and you and the people who email in and all that kind of stuff over the last like 5 months or whatever, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Because that's been really consistent, which is what I didn't know what that was going to look like too for the show and people listening. I didn't know if it was like, okay, quarantine, so everyone's just going balls out on podcasts or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Didn't know what that was going to look like, but it's like people are still emailing and it's still such a, you know, we have friends that, between the two of us, we have friends that, a bunch of friends that have podcasts. And so,
yeah,
you know, I talked to some people that have podcasts and they're like, oh my God, I can't take some of these fucking people to email in. They're so, you know what I mean? Like, and it's true. Like right. they send me the emails and it's like, Jesus Christ, we do not right. deal with stuff like that, man. We, yeah. I mean, we've had people disagree with us, mm-hmm. right? Like, but yeah. always in a cool and respectful way. I feel like I can't remember anything right. that was like, oh my God, troll.com, you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
It's pretty great. I love it. All that to say, you guys, we get those emails saying like, oh, this is a great way for me to spend time and clear my head and get away from things. And, you know, all those positive things people say, but it does work the other way too. You know what I mean? Those emails yeah. that we get from all of you guys, whether you know it or not, most of the time you probably don't, but it can turn our days around. You know, I'll speak for you on that, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, totally.
So.
Yeah, because there's been days like today, I was listening to a live show, and now I can't even remember exactly. I think it was Anthrax. It was a live show, but whatever it was, the singer started talking about, you know, whatever. And I was like, in my head, I was there. And it made me so sad that I haven't been to a show like this whole entire year. And yeah. then I started thinking, there's at least 5 concerts off the top of my head that like were canceled,
mm-hmm.
besides the 2 Pearl Jam shows that I should have seen between
right.
February and on today's August 1st. So it's just crazy.
Yeah. I can say that I ran an experiment because I'm lucky to have this big old studio with all those isolation rooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we obviously keep this place super clean. So there's one artist that I'm working with right now, and we had, you know, wanted to get this bass player and this guitar. I was going to play drums and this other guitar player come in and do a live thing and just kind of like, you know, made sure everyone that is in this group of 4 people have been just being smart and, you know, there's been no symptoms and stuff like that. And I set up right. everyone in their own rooms, but they could see each other through the glass. And we recorded live, which is not the same as playing a show, but the feeling of sitting basically in the same room with people and and making music live with people.
Yeah.
Felt real fucking good. And you can like hear it in the recording too, because none of us have been playing, you know, and the energy of it's great. And it just made me realize even more how much I miss playing shows.
Yeah.
And I can't I think my chest will explode the next time I get to play live. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. That's going to be a good time whenever it finally happens. I'm sure it's, unfortunately for us, at least another year.
Mm. Yeah, but think about this,
I don't even know if that's... I'm talking about the U.S.
Right, I don't... Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on anything. But I will say this. I think it's going to happen at some point, you know? And think about how excited we were just to go in the first place. And we were going to get to see all these people. We're going to get to see people we met at Wrigley again.
Yeah.
We're going to get to see people for the first time that we had never met before that talked to us through the show. And how much fucking sweeter is that going to be when it happens?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I would feel a little goosebumpy just thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and Nashville is kind of our like home base ish.
Yeah, it can be sometimes for sure. Yeah, man, it's gonna feel good. It's just something good to look forward to. You know what I mean? I'm trying real hard to think of things like that down the road that make me
happy.
That
kind of scared me. I was thinking like, I'm not getting any younger. What if I never see another show?
Oh my God. All right. See, now you just took us the other direction. You fucking dug me out of the hole. We naturally went into this wonderful fan listener appreciation thing. And then I'm gonna die before I see another live show. Oh my God.
Well, let's talk about something fun.
Okay.
Just something new. Have you heard the new Taylor Swift album, the surprise album that she dropped last week?
I think I'm on my 10th listen through the record.
Dude, it's so good, right?
Yeah, I've gone through different phases with it. But I've come back to the first listen, I was like, oh my God, this is like track one is fucking cool. And I was like, I like the vibe.
Yes.
And then, so I love the first listen through. And then, like, the second, third listen through, I felt like there were some songs that are like, oh, some of these songs aren't that good. But the ones that are great are great. But I kept listening. And then I got to, like, the fourth or fifth listen, and some of those songs started kind of coming back a little bit for me. I mean, it's a long record, though. There's a lot of songs on that record.
Yeah, it is.
So
I hope we haven't completely turned people off. But like, if you don't like Taylor Swift's like pop music, like this is totally not totally different, but it's so what did Clint say? Stark? Sparse?
It is sparse.
Like it's just her and a guitar in like some weird like synthesizer.
It's not an acoustic record.
It's not an acoustic
record. It's a vibey kind of indie grimy. Yeah. I mean, I don't think in a ripoff way. There's definitely the influence, I think, that the Billie Eilish record has had.
Totally. Totally.
But it's not a copying thing. It's.
No, but that comes from in Taylor's situation, which is everyone, you know, locked down. So it's just her and like a guitar and her brain. In a room, which is basically what Billie Eilish did. She basically recorded that in her bedroom.
Right.
It's that kind of record. So it's not like the, you know, radio pop Taylor Swift everyone's used to.
Yeah, there's no, like, it's just her voice. There's not crazy effects on the voice like a super produced pop tune. But, I mean, I dig it, man. I think I'm realizing more and more, we've talked about this many times, but I just fundamentally look at music for different reasons, if that makes any sense. Like, I think I like so many different things. Because you were saying, like, I hope this doesn't turn anyone off. And for me, it's like, man, like, why would you, like, I don't care if you do, but for me, it's, why would you shut yourself off from any kind of music that you could get something out of?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I also have to admit that there's part of it for me that it's my job and my passion. So I study music in a different way. Like, I don't have to be emotionally attached to something to like it or respect it. Or it's like, you know, when someone like her puts out a record, I don't like all her records, but she keeps trying something new every time. And I know. I enjoy that. Not too many people do that anymore. Or, it's kind of true. Like, people are really going to hate this kind of a comparison, but That's the kind of thing that Bowie was really good at, right? Is like reinventing himself every time. And it became a thing that, whether it was conscious or not, like Madonna kind of did the same thing. And, you know, I think David Bowie is way more talented musically than Madonna, but it's the same thing. And it's really hard to, I think it's hard to pull that kind of shit off.
Totally.
And Taylor Swift's done the same thing.
Yeah. I was telling Amanda, all the greatest bands, all the bands that are huge now and in the past, I mean, the Beatles, Metallica, even Pearl Jam, like they have all evolved with every few records or every few eras.
Yeah.
They change because if they do the same thing, those bands just don't last. I mean, there's a couple exceptions, like Motorhead and like AC/DC. It's basically the same album, Slayer. But those are the exceptions.
Sure.
Most bands just fall by the wayside.
Right.
If their third or fourth album sounds basically the same as the first two.
Right, and that's the weird way in which, I mean, that separates the artists from people who are able to maybe mimic something really well. I don't know how to describe it. Like, if you were to take someone, I mean, Pearl Jam's not the best example of this, but what was the very first release from the Beatles? Do you remember?
Is it with the Beatles?
Probably.
I think it's with the Beatles.
But if you took one of those first Beatles record and someone that never heard the Beatles before, you took that and you took, I don't know, later shit like Let It Be or Rubber Soul. I mean, any of those records. And you said you played one track off that first record and then one track off of the White Album. And you said, this is the same band. You'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, those are artists, right? Because artists don't want to do the same thing over and over again, right?
Right.
Like, I realized that about myself in the sense that, like, I'm too restless to just be a great guitar player. I'm a fucking good guitar player, but I'm not like, just like the best because I can't do that one thing. Like I like switching from guitar to drums to keys to none of that and just write songs for a while. And then, you know what I mean? Like switch all that kind of stuff up. If I had to come in and do the same fucking thing every day, I'd lose my mind. And I feel like that's what I look for in the artists that I listen to as well.
Yeah.
Even if they miss some steps along the way, I'd much rather, like Wilco's a band, and then we'll get to fucking Pearl Jam. But like Wilco's a band, I don't really give a shit about whatever the last, I would guess 3 to 4 albums have been. I've listened to them. But they can do that for me. They've put out so much stuff and changed so much over the years and made so much important music by saying they don't give a fuck what's cool or whatever and just making great art that even though they've made some records that I don't like, I think are boring or whatever, they're still one of the greatest bands ever, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I love that about people. And I like seeing that in people like Taylor Swift too. As much as people want to write a lot of those people off as, I don't know, as puppets and whatever. Like, it's not true, man. You can like her or not like her, but she works her ass off and she's good at a thing. And she's got the record sales to prove it.
Oh yeah, it sold like 1.5 million units in 24 hours,
which does not happen anymore. Like that's nobody does that anymore.
Crazy.
Nobody.
That is crazy.
That's like 90s boy band numbers for the week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And nobody comes close to that anymore. It's ridiculous.
It's
like
incredible.
Now it's a huge deal if you move 500,000 copies of something. You know,
right?
And that was just like, oh, it's just a gold record. They didn't get platinum, you know.
Right.
Now it's like, gold is the shit. Well, of course,
yeah.
I don't even think they use that terminology anymore. But hey,
gold is the shit.
You know what we do? We talk about Pearl Jam. In case it's your first time listening,
right? maybe people could like email us, or you could cut this out if you want, but like, what if the show was just an hour of what we just did?
A lot of people just listen. Put the cursor on the delete button on the old Patreon. Mm-hmm,
delete that.
Oh, God.
Okay. I'm just throwing it out there.
Just turn it.
Because I think you mentioned it last week or the week before. Like, it's 146 episodes in. It's hard to find something to talk about Pearl Jam related every week at this point.
Yeah, it does get a little bit tough. But luckily, it was funny. I was talking to a friend earlier today. I was like, I guess this goes back to a little bit more listener appreciation, I guess, which is we always get really good ideas too from emails, which has been huge help. You know what I mean? There's weeks where we've been like, oh, fuck, I don't know. Like, I just can't think anything, and you can't either. And then it's like, oh, there's that email, you know?
Yeah.
Just like the Ultimate Albums thing.
We got one this in the past week or two that was like, what about discussing like the top 10 songs written by each member?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that.
Top 10 songs that were strictly written by Eddie.
Yeah.
Or, you know?
Right.
Or Stone.
We can jam on some stuff like that.
There you go.
We still.
There's like eight episodes right there.
I still want to finish revisiting the records too. We kind of forgot about that once Gigaton came out. Speaking of Gigaton. That's obviously our episode this week. We've moved on to what, track 7? Isn't that right? Track 7? 7 o'clock? I think it's track 7.
It is 7 o'clock. Is it track 7 though? Probably.
I think it is. So that's what we're going to do today. But first, as always, we're going to get into some emails. All right, you starting us off as huge?
Yes. But first.
Oh.
Sorry. 7 o'clock is track number 6.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, well. Can't win them all.
I'm sure you'll edit that to make yourself look smart.
I think it's obvious that I don't do that.
You edit me to be funnier than I am.
Sometimes. Well, sometimes it's because I know you well in a different way, and there's sometimes that, I don't know, I find it funny just because it's you. You know what I'm saying? Try and turn it into something. Oh, but I take stupid shit. I do. If, like, there last 2 episodes ago, there was, I had a good 5 minutes of you that I had to get out of there, and a good 6 minutes of me at one point that I had to get the fuck out of there, because it was just like, what is happening? This is
I referred to it as the I Davinita edit.
Oh yeah,
Put that underneath my overlapping. I can't remember what it must have been. Some political bullshit that I was going on a rant. Or COVID. It was COVID.
It was COVID.
We were ranting about COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear God. All right. Emails. Who we got first?
Yes. Michael A. He says, let's play 3. Hey, Brads. It's been a bit since my last email. Doing the quarantine shuffle can keep a man quite busy. But I've been listening a lot, and I've got a long email to share, so you might need that story time bumper again.
I made that joke earlier, actually.
Yeah. I wanted to respond to 3 episodes, hence the email subject. 2 newer and 1 from back in the day. First, Olay. Great episode. Lots of fun to listen to. I remember when that song came out and having mixed feelings about it. Backspacer was a bit of a letdown for me, and having this as the next possible single made me worried for the band's direction. It's a catchy little rocker, but I think I wanted something quote-unquote closer to home for Pearl Jam. I honestly don't listen to that song that often, but hearing it on the episode, both recorded and the live version, was a nice reminder how good these guys are, even when they don't hit it out of the park, especially Eddie's voice on Jimmy Fallon. Man, he was nailing it. I like this. We got a few emails about Olay, and I'd like that this was made me realize a little bit more why people at the time didn't like the song.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah, I see. Yep.
Because totally. I've always felt like, why do people hate it so much? But yeah, I guess at the time, it wasn't what people were looking for. But years later now, we can kind of listen to it as a standalone single, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's fun.
So, all right. Second, the Ultimate Pearl Jam album. I loved this episode. Having the gals from Porch Podcast on made such a great dynamic for SPT. There's such a wonderful balance of geeky, nerdy knowledge and emotion in that foursome. And as a listener who shares many of the same feelings as you guys, it made me feel part of the conversation. The album creations all had a great flow, and my hope is to listen to them all and see how the vibes roll out. Here's my crack at an Ultimate album. I didn't spend too much revising and swapping songs because I wanted to see what my initial gut told me. I could noodle this thing for days, but here goes. So he's got Side A, Last Exit, Got Some, Quick Escape, Dance of the Clairvoyance, Tremor Christ, and In My Tree. And then Side B, In Hiding, Black, Rearview Mirror, State of Love and Trust, Unthought Known, and Release.
Dang.
Secret track of Arc.
Hell yeah.
I like the secret track. None of us thought of that.
I totally should have. Right when I saw this email, I was like, oh, why didn't I? I loved secret tracks.
Yes. Totally. Totally. What was it? Rearview. Let's see. Yeah, Rearview Mirror, Into State, Into Unthought Known.
Woo!
That's pretty good.
Yep. I like the Side B starting off with In Hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I actually like that Got Some made it. I like that as a song, too.
Yeah, totally. All right, and finally, I jumped in the Wayback Machine to episode 12 or 13, can't remember which, and listened to the Chris Cornell episode. That was a tough one to listen to. I learned a lot about Chris, which I didn't know, and my admiration for him continued to grow. It made me miss him even more. I also learned a lot about you guys and your individual struggles with depression, addiction, and self-image. Thanks for boldly and bravely sharing. The honesty was raw, and I appreciate you opening up to your listeners that way. I guess the good news is you're about 130 episodes farther along, and from what it sounds like, doing pretty darn good, all things considered. Keep cracking each other up and making us all laugh. It's good medicine. But the main thought I had during and after listening to the Chris episode was this, and sorry for being a Debbie Downer, one day someone from Pearl Jam will die. And that will be the end of the band. There's no replacements happening at this point, and I don't think there should be. Nobody could step into any of these guys' shoes and continue the magic. I know when that day comes, it'll be heartbreakingly sad. I hope that day is way off in the future. After COVID goes away and we're back shoulder to shoulder singing our faces off. I think this is something that every Pearl Jam fan thinks about from time to time, and reading Ed's lyrics on the last few albums, it sounds like mortality is on his mind as well. I imagine they will have a bunch of unreleased material, but this is a band that thrives and is at their best when playing live. The energy created at a show is special. You can't replace that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Sorry to bring down the mood. I'm hoping you and your families are holding up okay and keeping healthy. Looking forward to the next episode. Don't swim in the ocean. You'll get balls in your mouth. Michael A.
God damn it, Michael A. Taking us on an emotional roller coaster ride here with right? your email.
Up and down and up and down.
Woo. No, and I appreciate the, going back and listening to that Chris Cornell episode. And thanks for the kind words about that. But then you got to smack us in the face with a Pearl Jam death here. No, I know. It's true. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I guess I don't think about that much because they're not like old yet. Or they don't seem old. Like they're all still in good shape and they're all healthy and they're all, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And they tour every year for pretty much. Like they're still active
right.
as a band. Even if the albums take 7 or 8 years to come out, it's not like we don't hear anything from them. But yeah, I don't think they could have a replacement. That would be weird, I think.
No, there's no way. Yeah. When someone's gone, I think they're done.
Yeah.
You know. I think they'll be done. I think they'll retire before any of that happens, though.
Yeah.
You know? They're not, well, I don't know. I'm going to be, like, speaking of Jimmy Fallon, when he was imitating, was it on Almost Famous? And he was like, if you think, if you think Mick Jagger's going to be up there, he does the imitation of Mick Jagger when he's fucking 70 years old, you better think again. And now it's like, look at him. How is Keith Richards alive? I know it's a really easy joke to make, but someone should really study him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said the key, I was so funny. I don't remember if it was a book I read or if it was an interview. He said the key was that you buy really, really, with, you know, if you're rich, that you just buy really, really good drugs and it's not as bad for you. And he's like, and he buys like these French specific cigarettes or something that are, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I think you just have the genes, the DNA of a mutant. Because he's still rocking interviews and
he's still doing it. You talk about being active.
Right.
Speaking of Chris Cornell, did you see his daughter singing Black? Have you seen this video?
I haven't seen that video.
Oh, dude. She's pretty good.
Well, that's not a surprise.
I think it was this like Lollapalooza YouTube thing. But she is singing with, what's the dude's name? Pete Thorne? Do you know who Pete Thorne is?
Yeah. Musician.
They're doing like a Zoom style.
Right.
Session.
Yeah.
And
didn't
he's playing guitar.
Didn't she sing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah on like a morning show or something like that after Chris died? She sang something in public, and I was like, oh, wow.
I want to say that was with Chris.
Like am I just thinking of an old video or something? Maybe I'm wrong. I need to go back, and I haven't listened to his music.
But, dude, I'm watching it, and at the very end, it, like, fades to, a like, you know, words on the screen, and it says, like, dedicated to my dad. Ugh. And I'm just like, I lost
it. That's brutal, dude.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, Michael A., thanks for the email. Appreciate it, man. All right. So there's no chance I'm getting this name wrong, right? And I'm sorry. I'm not even going to try. I mean, I'm going to try, but...
Oh, come on, dude. I always get them and knock them out of the park.
You do, man. You are batting 1,000 on pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So I think it's Tuhin. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's...
Mahumder? Mahumder?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying. Says, hi, Brad and Brad. Hope you guys are keeping safe and well. I've been listening to your podcast for the last couple of years now, and it is great to hear your thoughts on all things Pearl Jam. I live in London and have been a fan of the band since 92 when I heard the single soundtrack. It was a great soundtrack, but the two Pearl Jam songs stood out for me, and ever since then, they have been my favorite band. I got to see them live for the first time in 2006 at the Reading Festival. Holy shit, that's awesome. I'd love to. I hate festivals, but I'd like to go see a band like Pearl Jam at Reading. That'd be awesome. Yeah, and that was an amazing experience. I've only seen them live on one more occasion in London, 2007. I'm really hoping to get them to see them live again sometime soon. I think the new album Gigaton is awesome. The songs sound amazing, and all band members are all on top form. I love the variety of songs, and there seems to be a real energy and intensity about the songs on this album, and I feel this is a step up in quality from the rest of their last few albums. I can't wait to hear these songs live. Agreed. Because totally. Have you noticed how many times Quick Escape is on people's ultimate albums?
Yeah.
And it's from the new record.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. If any of their management ever checks in on any of the Pearl Jam podcasts, I think they're going to learn that maybe they should
people love this.
Put that song in most of their sets for whenever the tour happens.
But, dude, he's right. I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, Avocado and Backspacer and Lightning Bolt. they're not the best albums of all time. You know what I mean? But Gigaton is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's still...
It's special.
You know, it is.
For sure. I still... Yeah, I feel like it's, again, the most kind of exciting thing since... I think in general, not for me necessarily, but... well, no, for me too, since Yield. I mean, I love all those. I love Binaural and Riot mm-hmm. Act and Lightning Bolt. I mean, I actually right. like all those records, man. Like we've talked about too. Before. But we've, Gigaton yeah. is a special kind of singular thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
All right. He says, I thought I would write in after hearing your episode on the Ultimate Album. I've never created any rankings for albums or songs until recently, so I've attempted my own list. I thought all of you came up with great lists. It was great to see... so many of you had Tremor Christ, which has always been one of my favorites. Anyway, here's my track list. So, track one is Go, into Last Exit, into Tremor Christ, into Quick Escape, into In My Tree. I mean, that's Brad Lyon's fucking album yeah. list right there, dude.
Yeah.
See, track six is Off He Goes, seven is Rearview Mirror. Eight is Grievance. I love it. Nine is Take the Long Way. Another yeah, fucking Gigaton. There you go. WMA. Love that. Then track 11 is Immortality, and 12 is Parting Ways. Man, two album closers back to back.
I love it.
It's heavy.
I love it. Because Parting Ways could almost be like a hidden track, like we were talking about a minute ago.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Says, I've also tried to rank the albums, which is tough as these can change quickly, but here goes. So his ranking is, well, I'm going to start at the end. So in last place, bringing up the rear, Backspacer. Number 10, Lightning Bolt. Number 9, Yield. Number 8, Avocado. And I know that's interesting, huh? Yield at number 9. Yeah,
there's a couple interesting ones on here.
he's rocking some Beli here with 10 at number 7. 6 is Riot Act. 5 is Binaural. Wow. 4 is No Code. 3 is Gigaton. 2 is Versus. And the winner is Vitology. That is a cool, that's an interesting list.
Very, yeah.
And not in a judgmental way.
No. Everyone's got their thing, but most people gravitate to a different way of ranking these albums, you know? I mean, Riot Act above 10 is crazy to me.
Right.
But that's me. I mean, you probably, I don't know what you, if you had, you might be similar to that.
I might have been.
But Yield at number 9.
Oof. Yeah, that one's always seems to be in like the top 4, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's cool.
Hell yeah. He says, Versus and Vitology have always been my top 2 and could interchange positions. I think my rankings for 3 to 8 could easily change around.
Totally.
Yeah, I get that. Let's see. He says, it would be great to hear your views on my rankings. Well, you just did.
There you go.
He says, keep up the great work. Thanks so much for writing in, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. It seems like we've gotten we've gotten a few emails from newer listeners or like people that have been listening forever that have never emailed in.
People got some time on their hands, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
fuck it. I'll email those assholes. Oh, man, it's cool. I've been enjoying it. Totally. Who we got next? Andrew.
Andrew Yoder. Love the podcast. He says, Andrew, second time emailer. I don't know when the first time was, but I remember that name.
Yeah.
Andrew Yoder.
Yoder just makes me think of Yoda.
Yeah. Well, for me, there's a lot of Mennonites that live around Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there's like Yoders everywhere around here.
Oh, really?
And they're all Mennonites. Yeah.
Interesting.
So my brother-in-law used to work for Yoder Brothers, which is like a meat packing plant.
Gotcha.
And he would bring home deer jerky.
Oh, I bet that was good.
Dude, actually, it was awful.
Oh, well, then it just wasn't good jerky then.
Yeah. I don't know what they... There's something they were supposed to do to it that they didn't do to it, and it was just
disgusting. Find out later that he just let it sit in the back of his trunk for a few months.
Yeah, yeah. Here, you eat it. You like jerky. Here, you eat it. Oh, it was disgusting.
Why does this taste like a disease-infested boot?
Yes. I think he was trying to kill me.
I think now the Black Plague lives in my chest.
Yes, this was, yes. This was the precursor to COVID.
Yeah.
It was Yoder 2014. All right. Love the podcast now that we've totally dragged Andrew's family name through the mud. I love the podcast and have been listening to all the episodes since everything is closed and spending lots of time at home. There you go. I feel bad you guys should have endless Pearl Jam content to talk about right now with a new album and new tour. That's kind of going back to what we were saying.
I know, man. I thought we were covered shows.
Oh, man. And, we were going to have like live versions and, you know, weird B-sides that they're busting out. Who knows what cool thing they would have done for this tour, right? You know?
Yeah, it's true.
Keep trucking and keep putting smiles on faces in a much needed time. My question for both Brads is this. Have you ever heard of the following songs going together much like the Mama Son tapes telling a story? Why Go, Daughter, and Rearview Mirror. I swear I read or heard that those songs are about a mentally challenged girl given up on by her family and gaining control of her own life. Was curious to know if you guys have ever heard that.
I don't think so. Have you?
I don't either. No, I don't. If it sounds like something that would have been like on the porch that people kind of read into.
Right.
But I don't think I've ever heard like Eddie talk about it. But it makes total sense. Those lyrically, those songs would all kind of go together.
Yep. I've never thought of that before, but that makes sense.
Well, Daughter and Rearview Mirror both share the... like the shade, something about the shades,
right?
You know,
yep.
So I could see that, but I don't. I mean, maybe someone else has heard that before, but
yeah,
I don't
let
think
us
I
know.
Have.
Because I hadn't heard it. Thanks for that, man. Thanks for letting us riff on your last name for about 5 minutes. Yeah, I appreciate it.
We look forward to your third email.
Yeah, there you go. All right, two more left. We got Stuart Morrow next. With an email titled Back Bolter. Hey, Brad and Brad, longtime listener, first time emailer. Been enjoying your podcast for the last couple of years, mainly these days when I go out for a run during lockdown. Really love the non-PJ chat before that particular week's deep dive, hearing how you both are coping during these unique times. Oh, man, which one was that? Was that the...
What?
What are you doing back there?
Nothing.
You've been doing something the last two times I've read an email. What's going on back there? Are you changing shirts? Are you
when you were reading the other one, I changed my shirt. This time no, I'm just taking a drink of water.
Oh, okay.
But you made me laugh when you stopped for a second, and when you came back in and you said the way you said like. Really love the non Pearl Jam chat. It was just, I don't know. It just tickled me the way you said it.
That's cute.
Sorry.
I don't get it. All right, let's do this. during the episode Ultimate Pearl Jam album, I remember one of you mentioning combining Lightning Bolt and Backspacer. This is something I did earlier this year. There are some really great songs on both albums, but not nearly enough to make either album anywhere near a classic Pearl Jam album. In my opinion. When you take the best of both, though, you can make a great album with no fillers. I found this also works with some long double albums. I did this with both Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness and Stadium Arcadium when I was bored. Anyway, I digress. So this is my single album, Back Bolter. Would love to know your thoughts. So this track list goes Pendulum into Got Some, into Lightning Bolt, into the Fixer, into Infallible, Then Unthought Known, Getaway, Amongst the Waves, Sirens, Supersonic, Yellow Moon. Did you just fall out of your chair?
No. Somebody slammed a door.
Oh, and it, okay. Yellow Moon, open. Into Force of Nature, Into Speed of Sound, and Ending with Future Days. And he actually linked a Spotify playlist. The BS is the new European dates came out this week, totally screwed up our plans. My girlfriend and I, also a massive Pearl Jam fan, went from planning to see 5 shows in 2 weeks to 5 shows in 5 weeks with 1 show a week, each in a different country. I suspect a lot of other people are in the same boat. Annoying, but what can you do? Life's too short not to go on and see as many Pearl Jam concerts as possible. Keep up the great work. Cheers. Thanks, Stuart. Appreciate it, man. I like that list. I agree. I mean, I love both those records, but if you put them together like that, there's some really strong shit in there for sure.
Totally. Yeah. I've been meaning to do it since we got this email, but I need to make a Apple Music playlist of these songs and listen to it like this. But it's a great like best of those two albums.
Yeah, it's cool.
And yeah, the European dates we didn't talk about. I don't even know did you get the email that they,
the 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to me. I mean, is Europe doing that much better with COVID that they're like able to actually concrete put these dates out?
I'm not positive, but I think so.
I mean, I guess they are. I guess they know better than me what they're doing. It just seems strange that it's like the only way I can look at it is like baseball started back up a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple teams that haven't been able to play because they have COVID issues. And I'm like, this season is not going to make it.
No.
The baseball season, they're going to get shut down again.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like these European dates, like maybe they should have waited.
Well,
to announce these, but I don't know.
I don't know. I think it might even just be like we're not going to cancel the shows. We're just going to say 2021 and we'll see what happens in the next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the smart thing to do. I guess I wonder if we're going to get to the point where they just don't know when it's going to happen and they just start refunding tickets and start all over again.
Don't put that on me.
Well, it's a possibility, dude.
I just want my dates. I don't care how long it takes. I don't want to have to go through ticket anxiety again.
All right, we got one more. Who we got?
We have Sean.
Yeah.
Olay and Angry Eddie. Good day to you, Bradtastics. It's been a while since I wrote in. I think I penned something in the first month, but have been following ever since. Love it like the first day. Thanks for the moments to let the times of life currently slip to the back of one's mind. I'll walk right into it here. I think Olay is so underrated. I understand those who don't prefer it. It doesn't really fit anything else that they've done, but there is beauty in that. I'll confess it took me a while to get on board when it was first released. The turning point was seeing this performed live in Vancouver in 2011, the Canadian tour right after Pearl Jam 20. It was the last show of the tour, and they were pouring it on and got to this song. It wasn't received great, as I believe it was fairly new. Now, I have been lucky enough to have been somewhere in the first 8 rows for 23 of 25 shows I have been blessed enough to attend. And this night, I happened to be in the 3rd row, just right of center, between Eddie and Stone. As the song was moving along, Eddie was getting visibly irritated, and by the outro, the repetitions of the, quote, what you say, unquote, he had changed the words to yakety-yak, yakety-yak over and over, and had more rage in his eyes and angry demeanor than I had ever seen. I think he was getting pissed at the amount of talking going on in the front and was pointing people out with every yakety-yak. In all the years I've watched the band, I've never seen fire in his eyes like that. I actually felt frightened. I think I peed a little. This is an amazing story.
Yeah, I like
okay.
It.
I've never heard this before. I've never seen this video until he sent it to us. But it's a great like moment of just rageful Eddie.
Right.
He says, I think he even cut himself on the mic stand and had blood all over his hands and pants. I'll attach the video if I can find it. Anyway, that was a long way of saying that the song changed for me that night. And now every time it comes on, it always reminds me of this. And I happen to be right there. And now I love the song. Dudes, he was pissed. Thanks for doing what you do. And say hi to all the Pearl Jam honks out there. Sean.
Like
yeah, Sean. Did you just say Sean? Voot.
Voot.
Voot. Voot. Yeah, and he sent a video, and I was gonna have you like put this in, but the audio is really
really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Eddie looks completely pissed. He looks really angry. So,
well, that was a great email, and I think I've got a new opening line for the Pearl Jam podcast now. What's going on, Pearl Jam honks?
Yes. Yeah, I like it.
In all caps. Well, thanks everyone for the emails. As usual, if you'd like to email the show, our email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. You can say hey on social media. And if you'd like to support the show, head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. Patreon?
We have a old school Patreoner.
Yep.
Coming back into the fold. Claire Millar?
Yep.
Yeah, I think she got off the train. Now she's back on, and she wrote us a real nice note about just basically wanting to keep supporting us, even though it's kind of tough in these COVID times. So we really appreciate that. And obviously, we love all the patrons. And if you can't support us that way, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right? I'm trying to be like a diplomatic or whatever.
Yeah, sure. No, so, man.
But
people
anyway,
got to take care
you,
of them.
Thank you, Claire. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. We appreciate every bit
I've jumped on and off other people's Patreons.
Yeah. There's only one podcast I pay for, but
that's us.
And he's right. I pay for emotionally dealing with you, JK. But he's pretty cool. Like this one podcast I pay for, he also does this thing where he's like, if you can't afford it, then send us an email and we'll give you this code for a year. And then at the end of the year,
oh, cool.
If you still really can't afford it,
yeah.
But you get benefit out of the podcast or the information, then hit us up again and we'll send you another code. I think that's pretty cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it Sam Harris?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I've listened to a couple of his. Just random episodes. I think that like Clint had told me you got to listen to this guy or listen to this certain episode. He did one on COVID when COVID first started happening that was like so super informative.
But this is not a Sam Harris commercial. Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it, man. It's time for the next track from Gigaton that we haven't covered yet. 7 o'clock. Again, we can't really do an info section on this song because it's brand new, hasn't been played live yet, all that good stuff.
No live version to play.
Yeah. But, I think this song is one of your favorites still, right?
Yes, totally.
And
What? Mm-hmm. Go on.
Nope, go ahead.
I was going to say, 7 o'clock, and I know people hate when I say this, but Buckle Up are really my favorite songs on the album.
Okay.
And this might beat out Buckle Up. I think after listening to this over and over, just listening to Gigaton over and over, I think 7 o'clock is slowly beating out Buckle Up as my favorite song on the whole album.
Man. Well, you're going to have to take me on a journey here, my friend. I mean, I think it's a great song. It's not one of those. Yeah. It's just, for me, this song, What? So this record's been out for probably 7 months, something like that. I have no idea. 7-8 months.
I don't even know. I don't know. Is it 2019 or 2020?
Oh my God, I don't know. I really don't. It's 2020.
I know, right?
It was 2020, yeah, right? It, yeah. Okay, it was 2020. Oh my God, you just made me feel a little bit insane. That was a nice move. But did you leave?
Yeah, keep talking. I had to mute for a second.
Oh, okay.
Every time I try and do something without like letting you know,
I got the ears of a hawk.
I guess so.
No, but when you hit mute,
that's my hawks. That's
it's
my
like hawk. Yeah. Complete dead. So it's obvious. Like,
right.
The sound of your room goes away. That's why I asked.
Now, it's either that or I'm chewing on a Tums for 30 seconds. Which would you rather have?
Oh, no, no. I respect the shit out of the fact that you are being thoughtful and hitting mute. But you don't do it that often, and it is very,
right.
For me, it's very abrupt that I can hear that you, and since we're doing this remotely, I'm worried that we lost connection.
Yeah.
Man, we are
all right.
Continuing to put out stellar content.
Right. So professional.
For our friends here. For me, this song, I think this is a song that I'm going to go in and out of, and where I am right now is I just get halfway through it and it feels too long.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I used to love listening to it all the way through. I think this is that period, it's been out long enough where I kind of find my first batch of favorites and I wear those out. And this is not on that list right now. And then I'm going to get sick of the ones that I'm wearing out right now. And you'll talk to me in 3 months and I'll be talking about how 7 o'clock's like my second favorite song on the record.
To me, what happens is I like everything more and more as I listen to it more often. So a song like Retrograde that I didn't love the first week the album was out. Right now, I'm starting to like that song more than I did. But also like 7 o'clock and Buckle Up, I love fucking 10 times more than I did the first week the album was out. You know what I'm saying? So like everything pretty much gets I like it even more. Now, Super Blood Wolf Moon, I still like that song, but I'm not as like high on it as I was the first couple weeks.
Sure. Yeah, you were in deep with that song.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still really good, but it's not, it doesn't, its reach doesn't go as far as like 7 o'clock.
I gotcha.
And what's the one? Comes and Goes. I still like that song and I'm liking it more, but that's one that I feel like, man, halfway through, like, come on, this song, this is too much. This is too long.
Right.
It's just the same thing over and over again. Not saying I hate it. I do like it, but it's just interesting that you said that about 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I think right now I think my mood is fitting some of the more like aggressive songs on the record right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's where some of that is. And I'm also experiencing, like we've talked about before, Whoever Said, I kind of, in some ways, I was ready to get to track 4 because I'd already heard tracks 2 and 3 and it was like this weird, I just wanted to get to the rest of the record that I'd never heard, and the song didn't blow me away enough at first, but now I ain't no way I'm skipping that fucking song.
Right.
I love it right now.
Yeah.
And Quick Escape and
I
still love Dance. Still love Dance, but right now and it makes sense because the other stuff I'm listening to right now is pretty, I would say, up and maybe even aggressive and just kind of loud and big. So
yeah, Yeah, 7 o'clock's more like introspective and like, I guess positive, like uplifting more than aggressive and loud.
Yeah, I think there's, you know what? Let's go ahead and listen to it. Why don't we do that?
All right.
So this intro turnaround section is my favorite part of the song. I fucking love this section so much.
Yeah. I like the little hitch in Ed's lyrics. Like he, in each verse, he kind of like does that thing where he goes up, like right there on Beauty.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. It depends on my mood. Sometimes I love this section of the song. I guess it's, you know, the verse or whatever. But it does kind of feel like a lot, like he's trying to fit a bunch of words in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But don't you think that's a, I mean, obviously that's a specific choice.
Yeah, for sure.
To write a song that has a lot of stuff in it.
Yep. Which is why you hear the band hardly doing anything but just keeping a really basic groove and chord progression going on underneath him being really busy with that vocal lyrically. Yeah.
And there's right here, is that a synthesizer?
Yeah.
Of some sort?
Yeah.
But that really gives it a different like feel.
Yeah.
Just that like weird floaty thing in the background.
Yeah, in some ways I think this is the part of the song that I'm kind of like, eh.
You don't like. Yeah, I love it.
I don't know. See, I like that part though.
Lyrically, is that what you're talking about? You like that?
Yeah, lyric? But even like the way he sang that one line, for some reason, like sticks out to me. Like, if the rest of that whole section felt a little bit more like that one line, I think I'd like it a little bit more.
Mm.
Go the path, all rivers free.
way he sings these last two verses, it's just so like uplifting and majestic, you know? And the music does change a little bit, like this part. So right. it's a little more like of a driving beat.
Yeah, it's the big outro, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's that repetitive, simple lyric that says a lot, you know?
Right.
Yeah, man, it's a great fucking song.
I just think, like you were saying about imagining being back at shows, it's just, I can't wait to hear the entire crowd singing that much to be done part.
Yeah.
That's, I mean,
we see, and that's
going to be crazy.
That's the thing, too, about, you know, why this is different than a normal release, and that there's so many songs that sometimes don't hit me fully on the record. And then when I see them live, it's like, okay, like I know how to take that with me and experience it that way when I hear the record version, for example, again.
Yeah.
It changes totally. It for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, obviously I would have had the opportunity to not only have seen two shows by now, but, you know, there would have been plenty of YouTube clips out there to watch and find and get to see maybe some of the songs that you didn't get at your shows. So that's the whole thing, is like, I'm reticent like to say, I mean, I want to point out what does kind of make me go about the song, but
sure,
I love the song. I mean, I was bopping my head the whole time we were just listening, you know, and reading the lyrics, just being like, Jesus Christ, man, like making that kind of lyric is so busy. There's so many words and make it work, you know? It's such a hard thing to do. And the fact that they, if you took all vocals out, I feel like it would feel like there's four different songs being shoved together.
Yeah.
That just happen to be in the same tempo. It goes real. Mm-hmm. It's that it opens with that really dark, minor, vibey, like the guitars are really swirly and kind of ambient. And then this one simple fill from Matt. And then it's major key, major chords, and not at all the type of vocal you thought you were going to get hit with the first time you heard the song. Right. Yeah. That intro makes you think this is going to be something else.
That's something I love so much about it, that it's the that intro, and then when he starts singing, those two pieces are so different sounding, but they go together so perfectly, you know?
Yeah.
But it is very much like the roller coaster where you're going up, you know, you're going really slow, and then it changes on a dime as you go back down. That's how the beginning of the song, isn't it? That's like, that's what really like stuck out to me the first time I heard this. Like, oh, this is totally different than what it sounded like.
Yeah, for sure.
Where we were going with that intro.
Well, and it is one of those songs where the first listen to this song, every new section of this, every transition is pretty abrupt. There's no... It's weird because they do pull it off, right? They make it a smooth transition, but it is an abrupt transition. You know what I mean? Like, it really does feel like they somehow put four different song ideas together and made it work.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, what's crazy is like, I don't know, self-aware enough. Is that the word? This should not be a song that I love.
I know, it still wigs me out, man.
There's no metal riff to it. There's no ripping solo from Mike. But man, there's something about it. I just love it. And even the weird way that he sings, like I said, I like the like weird hitch, like every other line. He has this weird, like, he goes
da, 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 da.
Yeah. I shouldn't like that. Usually I wouldn't like that kind of thing. But it all just works together, and I love it.
Yeah, for sure. It is interesting to, again, point out how when you... I mean, the focus of this song in... The focus of the song is the vocal. Right? Like...
Right.
You don't like. I could teach Aiden to play the basic drum beat,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's like drums 101. Of course, it's Matt fucking Cameron, so it feels great. And it's right. I don't mean it like that. I just mean it's a very simple groove. No one's doing anything complicated the whole song,
right?
At all.
Yeah.
The most complicated thing is for whoever's playing that synth to switch from guitar to synth. You know what I mean? Like, that's it.
Yeah.
But it all brings this dynamic. I mean, that is what I thought was so funny as a young musician, as a young guitar player, or even drummer. You fall in love with these songs before you know how to play anything, and you don't realize how simple everything is.
Right.
Right. Unless you're listening to Rush or prog rock or something. All right.
But well, it's funny. I mean, just real quick, like, I know Guitar Hero is not the same thing as playing guitar.
I'm terrible at it.
If you, I was playing, there's like three Tool songs that are available on there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I play them, I'm like, this is the easiest shit ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can that be? Because before playing Guitar Hero, I heard these songs as like super complicated and like there's no way, you know, anyone could play this. And then I'm playing on Guitar Hero and it's just like these simple sustained notes.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So I think that kind of goes to what you're saying. But it's like the way he plays those songs, and then you add in the bass and then the drums, that turns it into a complicated song.
Right.
But like going to what you're saying is like, yeah, some of these songs are pretty easy to play.
Right. They're totally easy to play.
When you break them down.
Yeah. But the genius of it is knowing to play simple. I think that's one thing that helped me over the years as a live player, being in bands or whatever, is that the feeling, really feeling something and moting is the thing, right? So when you watch Mike Campbell, like he's probably in my top three or four guitar players, or at least like that I can hear huge influences in the way I approach guitar, right? And he does not play hard shit. Like, his guitar parts aren't hard. And I don't mean that in like a, I'm so good. What I mean is that that's not what you love about him. What you love about him is the way Mike Campbell plays those notes and the way Mike Campbell hits that big E chord in the chorus of Last Dance with Mary Jane. And that chorus feels so big and groovy. And he's just going, that's it. He's just hitting a fucking E minor chord. But then when they go to the A, he does this cool kind of two note climb up double stop thing that everyone knows, right? Like, Last Dance with Mary. He's just playing an E chord. Go to A. And then what happens next? Right? That is so simple. It's not a hard guitar part, but it's fucking amazing and perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Just went off on music there.
I totally agree. Well, that's like something that I love about music is like Pearl Jam and Tom Petty. Like, you don't need super lightning fast, crazy licks. You know what I mean?
No.
It can be just laid back. But on the other hand, like Megadeth or Slayer.
That shit's fun, man.
Like that shit is awesome too.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you can play that stuff as clean as those dudes do in a live setting, like you've got me for life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's the as a guitar player, I can play Mike McCready solos note for note. Right? Mm-hmm. And who cares? Because it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's just not possible. Some, you know, there's people, some of them get famous and some of them don't, but there's people that just have their own voice on an instrument, and that's what we love about them. And it's whether it's simple music or it's super complicated metal, you know, there's something we like about the way those people play those things. Because no one's reinventing the wheel.
Well, and I read something years ago, and I think I've mentioned this before, but it blew my fucking mind, like, wide open. That somebody was saying that, like, it's kind of like the like, there's no two snowflakes alike. Like when somebody's fingers are touching the strings, like physically, they're not touching them with the exact same pressure and like how much space they're covering as somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear Slash playing a solo, or you hear Mike McCready playing a solo, or Hendrix or Eddie Van Halen, like you can't recreate those sounds because you don't have their fingers and their nerves and the pressure that they're putting on the neck. Like, I don't know. When I heard that, it fucking blew my mind. And I don't know if I just sound dumb.
Not at all, dude. Because I experienced that all the time with recording the studio, right? So, I mean, I can be, if you really want to like get down to brass tacks, I can be an annoying kind of purist in the sense that I realize that when I'm, and by the way, I love Pro Tools and Logic and digital, you know, recording. I think it saves so much time. Yes, there's great stuff that if you can afford and have the time to work on tape, that's amazing. But the thing is that you can hear what digital has done to music, and it's the auto-tune thing, right? Where it's like there's all these people, there's people that use it creatively as an effect and as a thing. I'm totally down for that. But the incessant people who can't fucking sing, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. And when I'm looking at my Pro Tools session in a band or a drummer, whoever is playing, when they're not that great and they don't have that much experience and you're just trying to make it as good as you can, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to move kick drums and snare drums and line shit up. I might not use Beat Detector, right? But the thing is that at that point that I do that, that is not the person playing drums anymore, right? Because when you get to people on the opposite end of the spectrum, if I were to record Dave Abruzzese or any of the Pearl Jam drummers, right? I'm not moving that shit because we love the drums on Versus and Vitology because of where Dave places his kicks and snares and everything around the beat, around the tempo, right? And when you get in there, you can see that in Pro Tools. It lets you spread it out and you can see where the downbeat is supposed to be and where, you know, technically a perfect kick drum would set. But no one plays that way. And when you take that away, it makes it fucking sterile. Yeah, you sound like you can play perfectly to a click, but you can't. And that's, I mean, imagine the Rolling Stones playing to a click or Led Zeppelin playing to a click. Imagine John Bonham having to be stuck to a click.
Right.
It wouldn't be John Bonham anymore, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Those tiny little things really do make a difference, and that's why you can't, like you were saying, you can't recreate it. And
well, it goes back to that thing of if somebody went in and quote unquote fixed Dave, what he was doing, if he's like subtly behind or ahead of where he's supposed to be, and you went in and changed it, but you didn't tell anybody. Like you would hear that there's something off and different.
Especially with a record, like that too, that's been around so long that we've heard times, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But it would just, it might be subconscious. Like you might not be able to put your finger on what sounds different, but you could totally tell it sounds different for the worse.
And that's one of the fun things that I had about this little experiment I did with the isolated recording or whatever here in the space is that we didn't record to a click, right? Because we were all there and we're all good players. Right. And the tempo radically changes on both songs that we recorded, you know? Like, the first song we did starts at a tempo like this. But by the end, it's like... Right. Like, we've sped way the fuck up by the end. But it works, and that's where the energy comes from, that push and pull. But if I were to... It feels great, but if I were to go into that Pro Tools session and open it up, I would find all these... You know, the neurotic part of the engineer finds, oh, well, that kick drum's a little bit off. But then if you move that kick drum, then you have to move this other snare. And then if you have to move that snare, it'd be this house of cards. And then you don't have the performance anymore. End of story.
Yeah.
Back to the song. So as someone that's like in a good, really good spot with this song right now, what are there... Do you just kind of generally like the vibe of the lyric and everything, or does this song speak to you in a specific way at all?
No, not in a specific way.
Okay.
But yeah, just the vibe is very, I mean, it's a couple of different things. It's very like uplifting and positive, but he's also kind of talking about present day with Trump. And, you know, not negative things, but like he's trying to say, you know, obviously there's a lot of bad shit going on and we have to get through this and fix it, you know?
Right. I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. Well, it's the ending of the song with the much to be done, right?
Exactly. Right.
I think that kind of sums up the song.
It kind of starts off like, I don't know. I have no idea what Eddie was thinking when he wrote this, and I'm sure he's thinking a lot of different things, but if you look at it, because he calls out the president, if you look at it from that vantage point, that this song could be about the U.S. right now and over the last few years. I don't know. It just kind of seems like he's trying to say we were doing good and we got real close. But now it's kind of fucked up and we have to get back on track.
Interesting. See, I think that my description would end with some version of we got to get back on track. But I see that verse that mentions, well, he doesn't say him by name, right? But he does the Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse, Forged North and West, and you got Sitting Bullshit as our sitting president, right? But I don't think that's what the song's about. Right. Like it's one verse out of like so many lines of the song.
Six or seven.
And I definitely think it fits in, but I think this is another one of those songs where not that this is new for Pearl Jam or for Eddie, but this record definitely had universal enough messages, I feel like, and this song is an example that it just feels like it's not necessarily the songs on this record aren't necessarily about a specific thing going on right now. Right. It's about the times, right?
Yeah,
like they wrote a lot of these songs probably a year ago, maybe 3 years ago, but they still apply. And Pearl Jam's always had a knack for that, you know. What else do we want to talk about in this one? It's weird. We can't really break apart band parts because there's not much going on. It's funny.
Right. Yeah. I mean, lyrics, there's a lot of lyrics. We don't have to go through each word by word, but like, let's see. Just the moved on. This line always gets me. Moved on from my despondency and left it in the bed. Do I leave it there still sleeping, or maybe kill it better yet?
Yeah.
For this is no time for depression or self-indulgent hesitance. This fucked up situation calls for all hands on deck. So to me, that's like, you know, you wake up in a shit mood, maybe just depressed or whatever, but you're like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave that shit there. I don't need to take it with me. And maybe I'll kill it, you know?
Right.
Because he's saying it's like, this is not the time to be like sad and depressed and self-indulgent. Like this is, we all have to like rise up and fix this situation.
Right. Yeah. There does have to be some sort of unifying thing that comes out of this, I feel like.
And what's crazy is this was written before like all this COVID shit.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, he knows how to write things that the Run the Jewels record that came out, same way. Like, it sounded like when that record came out and I popped it on that morning on the way to get coffee and hearing everything for the first time, I'm like, oh god damn, because I knew they weren't planning on releasing it right that day that they did. I think it was planned to be released like a few months out. And like many people, they just said, well, we're not touring, so fuck it. Let's just put it out. But there's a part of me that was just like, did they write this record in the last 2 weeks and put it out?
Yeah.
And then we can find out that like some of these songs are a couple years old. But just weird how sometimes it's the timing thing. It's just,
right.
If this record had come, if Gigaton had come out a year and a half ago, it wouldn't have had the same effect, I think. Maybe not. I don't know.
And if it came out in a year, everyone would be like, well, obviously he's talking about the anti-maskers and obviously he's talking about Trump and COVID. But it's not. It was written, all this shit was written in the last few years. I think they said this song was the result of Stone and Mike having like some really long recording sessions. And then Jeff and Ed came in and added their stuff to it. Kind of a Dance of the Clairvoyance situation.
I was about to say, it's obvious that this is a band, right? Like all of them contributed to this. You can hear it.
Yeah. I like the line, we saw the destination, got so close before it turned, swim sideways from this undertow and do not be deterred. Again, that's like, we're in a bad situation, but don't give up. We're going to get through this. You know, we just have to get through. You have to go through it to get through it. You ever heard that?
You have to get through it to get through it.
Yeah. You have to go through it to get through it. Something like that.
The only way it out like, is through. Yes.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Man, bringing that wisdom. Bringing that sage wisdom.
The best. Yeah.
Brad B.
Caught the butterfly, broke its wing, and then put it on display. We was stripped of all its beauty once it could not fly high away. I love that line because it's like, there's some sort of metaphor in there that like, if you see a butterfly and all you want to do is catch it and put it on display, like once you do that, you're robbing it of its beauty.
Right.
Because the beauty is that this beautiful thing is flying. And you can't fucking capture that.
Right. Yeah. It never works out when you try to. And that section ends with another God's creation destined to be thrown away. Like something else we just don't give a shit about, you know?
Right.
I don't know, man. I am thankful for bands and artists like Pearl Jam when shit gets real weird. You know,
yeah.
You know, obviously, work has been slow on the music side. A lot of times, when I'm done with a full day of music, the last thing I want to do is get in the car and listen to more music. My ears are kind of tired or whatever. So it's usually just silence or it's talk, you know, podcast or whatever.
Right.
But since I haven't been doing as much music work during the day, and there's all this music coming out, it's been this really great kind of. I've been re-inspired in a way and kind of, I've been allowed to miss it. You know what I mean?
Like, right, yeah,
And so all this new music coming out is just kind of blowing my mind and I'm experiencing records in a way that I don't think I have in a while. So, you know, that's a something positive out of it. It's really made me feel like writing again. And I don't know, that part of it's been really nice. So
good. That's good.
Yeah. Well, we got anything else about this one?
I don't think so.
It's a good one, man.
I love it.
I'll come back around to it.
I hope so. I can't wait to see this live. I hope they play it. I hope this is one that they play.
Like, that would be a cool one to see live, man. It's so weird because I want the easy, like, not the easy ones. Of course I want to see Quick Escape, right? Like, how could you not want to see Quick Escape?
Yeah, that one too.
But God, man, I mean, I'd love to see 7 O'Clock. Because I wonder if this is a song that won't have a long live history. I guess we'll find out. But
yeah, I don't think so. Only because it's so long. Like, there's so much for Eddie to do on this song.
Yeah, it's true.
But I don't know. It would be cool. It would be cool to see this because I could see Boom doing something with it, maybe. That Much To Be Done, the whole crowd just singing Much To Be Done over and over.
Ooh. Yeah. Chills.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here, man.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to email singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com is the address. You can say hey on social media. And of course, if you'd like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. Until next week. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek, saying again, much to be done.
I was hoping you were going to use that one.
Yeah.
We got like a Vulcan mind meld going on here.
Yeah.
I like it. Peace.
Later.
All right. You still there?
Were you just chugging vodka from a plastic bottle? Because it sounded like it was painful for you to get down, whatever you just got down.
It was Jose Cuervo.
Jesus Christ. So is that your deal? Is that your mojo now? You get a little buzzy buzzkins before the show?
I don't feel real great.
Oh, good.
So I thought maybe that would help.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. Alcohol is great for your immune system. Trust me, I know.
Is it?
No.
I mean, I got a headache.
That's how it starts, man.
The COVID?
Yeah. The problem with you is that it also involves a lot of times, or it can involve diarrhea, but you're kind of used to that, so you wouldn't know the difference.
I mean, yeah.
It's a hard truth.
Maybe I can make it through.
Maybe.
But, yeah, if you just hear silence for a minute.
Maybe I'll make it through. You know what you need, Brad? You need to be taking some fucking vitamin D if you're not already.
What is that?
What is vitamin D?
I mean, like, yeah, like, what's that in?
Do you not take vitamins at all?
No.
Oh, Jesus, Brad. Just go and buy.
I used to. I had the Flintstones.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was
gummies. Are you talking 35 years ago?
No, like in the last couple of years. But I ran out a while ago.
You can't take kids' vitamins, dude. What the fuck is wrong with you?
What's the difference?
Are you serious?
Yes, what's the difference? Kids are just little humans. Like, our bodies are the same. There's no, like, children's vitamin D and adult vitamin D.
No, but there's different amounts and different things that they need.
I'm just saying. Those Flintstone chewables, they got everything you need in one pill.
I can't believe it. I'm even letting you talk right now about this. You need to get some big boy vitamins that have vitamin Centrum, D, vitamin Centrum, E,
A through D,
B12, B6.
That's all bullshit anyway.
Ugh.
Did Jesus take vitamins?
No, and he died when he was 33 on a goddamn cross.
Yeah, but they killed him.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, cavemen weren't...
Jesus Christ!
Chewing on Centrum A through D.
Yeah, and they all died really young in horrible, painful deaths.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.